You're listening to Always On Coverage, powered by podtech.net and PodTech News, your information source for the latest in technology and innovation.
This is Rio Pacino for podtech.net here at the Always On Summit at Stanford University. The final speaker at the three-day event was legendary Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak. After leaving Apple in 1985, Woz kept himself busy as a school teacher. He also launched a number of startups and joined former Apple executives Gil Amelio and Ellen Hancock in creating Aquacor, a company designed to buy promising tech firms and take them public. During his closing keynote at Always On, Woz talked about Apple in its early days. He answered dozens of questions, including his thoughts on the old Apple II, which was launched in 1977. That machine was built by a single person, which hadn't been done before and hasn't been done since. That single person was Steve Wozniak.
Yeah, because pretty much before that time, you'd have companies designing computers with large teams, work on the power supplies, work on the hardware, work on the metals, work on everything, you know, to do with it. And I did all the hardware, all the software, everything electronic except the power supply. Instead of my regulated power supply, we took a switching power supply. Hired Rod Holt from Atari, and that saved us from having a fan in the first computer ever with a plastic case. And also, Steve Jobs is very instrumental, not only in understanding the audience and how to sell it to people, but in kind of knowing which is the new hot technologies of the future are the ones to go with, and which are kind of like too expensive and sort of a dead end path to go on. You know, which RAM should you use and why, and which, even things like leaving out the fan, it cost us a little bit more money for the switching power supply, but it just was one of those little things that was a little more precise on a technology level.
Wozniak says he wrote all the Apple DOS code with pencil and paper since he could not afford the technology needed to type it into the computer. Woz buried himself in the coding process, and it didn't take him long to complete the operating system.
One day. One night. It turns out that all of the code that was in the Apple II, it had to be written in machine language because we had a microprocessor and no other languages. It had to be written in machine language, and I couldn't afford the computer system that you type it into, called an assembler, an online assembler. I couldn't afford a terminal. I didn't have the money. So I would handwrite the code on a piece of paper, and then I would use a little card and translate my program into ones and zeros on the left side of the piece of paper, and write them by hand, and then I would type the ones and zeros into my computer to test the program, and that's how I even wrote BASIC. I wrote BASIC, and I wrote all of the, we had little mini operating systems that basically selected different inputs and different outputs, and every bit of it never turned up, and all these days, it's all handwritten, never went through a computer, I still have the handwritten copy, and it's never had one bug. In the hardware, the software, the Apple II.
Apple was an open source company. That's what Woz maintains. But his definition might not align so well with radical supporters of open source today. For one thing, Woz doesn't think everything should be given away for free. Still, he backs the idea of transparency.
Apple is a company that started. I would take down my designs. I was too shy to ever make a presentation in our whole computer club, and I would bring my computers with my home TV down to Slack and set them up and show them off, because then I could talk to people. It was a way for me to get my social energies out. I could talk to people about good things that I had built. Well, I passed out schematics. I passed out listings. There were no copyrights. There were none of that. So Apple actually got its start being as open source as you can. Here it is. Look at this great thing. Build your own. You know, when we started a company, we were a little more careful. We kept the copyrights of the Apple II, and we kept the schematics. We didn't pass those out. And there's good, you know, and there's good reason. I don't believe that everything should just be given out and given for free. I think the open source movement has a lot of ability, though, to make sure that you're not going to become tangled up in software and just a slave to whoever produces the software, and you can never make a complaint. You can never have anyone hear you. You get a bug fixed or something like that. I mean, I go through this all the time. I just don't even want to make a phone call to Apple even to report bugs, because who's going to listen? So... So there's this whole idea that, you know, computers are for all of us. Really, there's a lot of bright people that want to put their energies into helping others in the world have better software.
Wozniak still fits the tech nerd description. His keynote served as a kind of gadget theater.
For the information, Woz arrived that matters, on stage
wearing a huge watch and had numerous pens in his shirt pocket. One of them was some sort of a laser pen he used to attempt to sign a laptop with. He told the crowd about his passion for watches and, of course, Apple computers. But not all things Apple. Take music players.
One can't live without. Well, it's obviously my computer. I mean, next to that, I'd probably be my cell phone. Somewhere down the line is my TV. Let's see, a real special one. I don't know. In recent times, my Segway is very important to me. My watch, I've got a neat little watch. I've gathered unique watches that do interesting things. All my life, I've collected them. And this is the longest time I've worn one watch, I think. It's got Nixon tubes to show the time. All it does is show the hours and the minutes. And it's, let's see if we can get the, when I turn my wrist, it shows the hours and the minutes. And I love it. It just matches my head. It's peaceful. I usually like to keep my devices separate. I keep a camera in my pocket at all times. I keep a cell phone for voice. I do most of my calendar stuff at home. I love Google Calendar, actually. Speaking of a good advancement in software, the apps that are being served, the services. My iPod was the biggest, music's been a big part of my life, and the iPod was the biggest positive influence in my life for music, being able to carry my own music, and it didn't last long because Satellite XM Radio came out. Satellite XM Radio brings me, current still to this day, much more exotic and strange and different, and the type of music I like. Than anything else that really encountered what I like to in the way of music.
Wozniak loves XM Satellite Radio, although he did boast about his collection of portable music players. Still, he admits the iPod is one of the most innovative products ever created.
I loved music devices my whole life. I had reel-to-reel tape recorder, which was very rare when I started college, back in 68. And then I went into cassette tape recorders, and always, my music was so important to me. Now, after Apple, and I had enough money that I could buy all the early MP3 devices, and I loved the little Diamond Reel 500, because it was RAM-based. And RAM-based has a purity to electronic purists. No moving parts. We replaced them with electrons. But the trouble is, I had to put all these little smart media parts to carry my music on an airplane flight. Cost me $1,000. Okay? And so the day the iPod came out, sat down with my wife in a restaurant, and there's the iPod on the middle, and here's my Diamond Reel 500. With the pureness of RAM-based. It's like today's flash RAM-based machines, like the iPod Nano. And then on the other side, I had my mini-disc recorder, which was so cheap. And the iPod cost so much. And the mini-disc recorder, you could record as many albums as you want for 25 cents a disc. And I wasn't sure, but after using it on that airplane flight, by the end of the airplane flight, I never wanted to go back. It's that whole idea that Steve Jobs talks about, of finding our elements of nature that kind of fit, that humans like over time, and find them comfortable. And how things feel, and using those as guides to how you make products. So I like it. I actually had a little bit of a setback when Apple got rid of the spinning wheel and just got a flat wheel that you move your hand around on. It doesn't work as well for me, and I love the little spinning wheel. I've got it on my phone, my Bang Olufsen phones, and it's just the most gorgeous little thing to use in the world to go down a list of things real fast. The iPod, it's hard to live without it. It's just so well done. You know, and the funny thing is, you'd say, what's the difference between the iPod and other music devices? Well, one big key that none of them had was it was a satellite to your computer. It said your computer is the center of your information, the center of your music storage, and the iPod just plugs in as a satellite. So that was a new concept. But as far as actual technology in the iPod, it's very subtle differences in how it works and its switches are implemented and how the menus work, and they're minimized, and the sizes are tiny, tiny little things that are just that absolute perfect element. Apple has always been very good at finding the right things to put in a computer and the right things to kick out, even though they seem to kick out things that too early for some people. It's like trying to hold that balance. It's just right.
After hearing his closing keynote, it's clear that Woz is doing just fine. He loves his Segway. He actually cruised on it to the Stanford campus for the Always On Summit. Woz continues to teach here and there at schools in Los Gatos and has plans to host a music and arts festival next year. His highly anticipated autobiography comes out September 25th. This is Rio Pacino for PodTech.net.
For the information that matters, go to podtech.net and subscribe to PodTech News.